This is Michael Ostlink with the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons and Take Back Medicine. And I'm here with Dr. Deborah Peel from the Patient Privacy Rights Foundation. Good afternoon, Dr. Peel.
Hi, how are you?
It's good to have you back on the show.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Now, you have some great news from a recent Zogby poll. Can you tell us about the poll and the great news?
We do. Yes, we are so excited because we finally were able to get some funding to be able to do our own poll about privacy and ask the questions about what Americans want in a direct and clear way as far as who can see and use their electronic health information. So, yes, we got support from the Rose Foundation and help from the Zogby people, and so in late August, they did a statistically significant poll of 2,000 adults and what they thought about privacy and who should control their health information.
Okay, well, let's go into some of the details of the questions asked and the answers received.
Sure. Well, the good news, Michael, is as we felt we knew, without benefit of a poll, the majority of the American public wants to control who can see their information, snoop in their records in electronic systems. It's not surprising to us because, as you know, we've had great bipartisan support at the Coalition for Patient Privacy for many years. And so, you know, we know that this isn't a matter of what party you belong to. This is what American people believe. And so the first question that we asked is very simple. Should doctors, hospitals, labs, and health technology systems be allowed to share or sell your sensitive health information without your consent? And, you know, huge majority, 97% said no, they shouldn't be able to make the decisions about our personal information. So that was the first question. And, you know, again, it's what we expected, but when you see the other polls paid for by industry, they often put it in terms of, you know, do you think the benefits of health technology outweigh privacy? They give you a false choice. That's why we were so happy about being able to ask direct questions. Who should control your information? And it's you.
97% is great, but I kind of wonder what's going on in the minds of the 3%. Awfully strange people would just give up their tech and control their information. Those are great numbers in support of our efforts, so good to hear.
Yeah. And then the next question we asked, of course, was should insurance companies be allowed to sell or share your information without your consent? Because, you know, everyone knows to get claims paid, the insurance companies will often ask doctors for all the records, sometimes not just of a particular visit, but even entire charts. And you know, they, in other words, they use withholding payment as a way to try to force your doctors to give them more information. And so, once again, we had a very large majority of the public saying no. This time it was 98% said insurance companies shouldn't share or sell your information without your consent. And this, you know, this is very important because, you know, for example, Blue Cross Blue Shield, the largest health plan / insurer in the nation, aggregates and sells the data of, I believe it's over 50 million enrollees. And I'm a Blue Cross Blue Shield enrollee. They never asked me. So the public is very clear. They don't want this to happen with insurance companies.
You said, they collect, you said how many members do they have that they collect their information,
you know,
and sell it?
I get confused because I see so many figures. It's something like, I was thinking, it's either 49 or 57 million.
Wow.
And I should have checked before we're talking here, but it, you know, it's an astounding number of people is the bottom line. It's an astounding number. And you know, I brought up the name Blue Cross Blue Shield because if you look on their website, you'll see Blue Health Intelligence or Google Blue Health Intelligence, and you can see for yourself. Now, they claim that this information is de-identified, but the next step is it's not possible. It's virtually impossible to create sets of health information that cannot be re-identified. So, it, you know, the use of words like anonymization and de-identification should be a big red flag, because if you think about health records, they're full of so many details. Even if they take your name off, they have the date of treatment, they have the place of treatment, they have the doctor, they have the pharmacy. You know, all of those places that are in your neighborhood or where you go, if you match up what's there in the data with things like voter registration records, people can be re-identified. In fact, that's the genius of LaTanya Sweeney, a PhD from Carnegie Mellon, who as a graduate student took the supposedly de-identified data of the state of Massachusetts for their outpatient care and crosswalked it with voter registration records and found the health information of former Governor William Weld and his family. It's
wow.
For a computer person, it's not hard to do this. If, you know, if you and I were trying to figure it out, matching up the different lists, it'd be impossible. But that's the beauty of technology. It can do incredible calculations and cross matches, thousands, millions of them in an instant. And so what used to be, as a practical matter, not identifiable is today, because technology allows matching of thousands of variables instantly.
If someone was interested in learning more about her efforts, successful
yeah.
efforts, unfortunately, where could they learn more about that?
We've actually posted some of her papers on our website, www.patientprivacyrights.org, and if you just type in Sweeney, Sweeney, some of her papers should pop up.
Great.
And if you can't find them that way, email us. Our office email's online, and say, hey, I want to know more about LaTanya. We'll respond. We'll get you
her
papers.
Very helpful. Very good to know.
Sure.
So some more questions.
Sure. Well, another one that we asked was, okay, if you have electronic health records, do you want companies? Do you want to decide which companies and government agencies can see them? And, you know, you can guess this is another majorly large majority that wants to decide what private corporations and what government agencies can see health records. This time it was 93%. The public does not give government and does not give private corporations a pass on this. And today, it's very important to know, and this might be a good time to talk about this, the government has got plans that are already very far along that are going to require each of us to have an electronic health record and that electronic health record to be data mined for many, many government purposes, some of them which we would probably agree with, some of which we wouldn't. Public health we might agree with, quality improvement we might agree with. There are other uses that we might not, depending on the sensitivity of the data. But people just, you know, what we found is people really, they really want to choose who sees the information and for what purpose. And this is particularly important because not only are we all about to get an electronic health record by 2014, that's the government's goal, but right now every state is getting millions of dollars to build what are called health information exchanges, which are, if you will, I guess kind of like ways of connecting up all of the different electronic health systems and hospitals and doctor's offices and pharmacies and labs and x-rays and all that, connecting them together to share information. But, and this is why I hope your listeners will go take these copies of these polls to the decision makers in your state. States are being pressed to give people what's called opt-out consent. In other words, many states are building these data exchanges where they're going to dump your data into it so that it's accessible by thousands of strangers. And if you don't want to be there, you have to totally not be part of the system. You have to opt out, which is truly a violation of our rights, truly a violation, because there are great technologies that would enable each of us to do what we've always done in the paper world, which is share selected health information with selected other people. Everybody doesn't get everything, and nobody gets all of it unless maybe it's you know, a doctor we trust very much, a medical home, for example. So this is really important for your listeners. Your state is going to be wiring together all the electronic health systems, and the plans for these health information exchanges are going to put all the data in, and you'll have to say, you know, if you want to keep any privacy, they're going to force you to opt out. In other words, tell them you want control so that you can selectively share your information. Don't let your state build a system that's crazy, that's black and white, where if you want any benefits from technology, which everyone does, you're forced to lose the privacy of your most sensitive information, like genetic information or information about substance abuse or other kinds of sensitive conditions like depression.
Let me ask a couple clarifying questions. If I understand correctly, there's a mandate that each of us as American citizens get electronic medical records. Is that correct? Is it a legal mandate, or is it just a goal that the government has?
I think it's a goal. But
okay.
The problem is, you know, they can call it a goal. But in the meantime, the government has mandated that all doctors and hospitals are going to use electronic health systems in two ways. First, well, okay, maybe mandate isn't correct about that either. They want every doctor and every hospital to use these electronic systems. So what are they doing? They're paying them big bucks up front to put these systems in, up to $44,000 per doctor's office. And then in a few years, if the doctors don't do this, they will start to penalize them. So, I don't know, you decide if you think that's a mandate or not. It sounds mandate-like to me. You know, there will always be some doctors who stay out of these systems. In fact, many in my profession, I'm a mental health profession, don't want to have these records at all because they know that once you have an electronic health record, the government and many private corporations are going to be able to, you know, peek in the back door and data mine them.
Okay, and can we get into a little bit of the logistics, if you don't mind?
Sure.
The answers,
yeah.
The answers aren't known yet in terms of electronic medical records. Mm-hmm. So it is a thought from the government's perspective that insurance companies would create a electronic medical record for their members, each doctor would have for their patients. I mean, where is this medical record going to be located in its original creation?
No, that's a great point. The thing is people are going to have them in a number of places, very likely.
Okay.
You know, so your primary care doctor might have one in his or her office. Then there will be another one at your local hospital. Then there might be another one if you go away for cancer treatment in that hospital. So there's going to be bunches of them. And they're, you know, which, of course, can create all kinds of room for errors and discrepancies. You know, that's a whole other story. But the plan is not for a single electronic health record at this point, but that all of the places that are somehow involved in healthcare will have health information about you electronically, and they're calling that an EHR or electronic health record, but there won't be a single one.
Okay, because I know Congressman Paul each year, fortunately, gets a universal number defunded, a health number. For all American citizens. And I imagine now, the way you describe the system being set up, that the thing that would connect any one's records that are dispersed electronically in different systems would be a universal number.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right.
Or something along those lines.
Yeah, no, the industry wants everyone to have a single number, and Congressman Paul is absolutely right. Single identifying numbers destroy privacy. All you have to do is think about the Social Security number. The American public has forever hated and opposed, single identifiers. Or, like, remember the real ID card that we were all supposed to get. Single identifiers are a very, very bad idea for privacy, and they are not needed for electronic health systems. There are many other better ways to keep the data private and to keep people in control. You know, so, for example, you know, there's no reason every hospital has to have the same identifying number for you because, you know, here's Austin, Texas, so I'm in Austin. If I want the information that St. David's Hospital has for me to be shared with Brackenridge and Seton, I can contact St. David's and say, send it to my account that has different number. Yeah, I don't have to know, you know, we don't have to know our account numbers, although that might make it simpler. You can send it to this one or you can send it to that one. But we don't have to, and if we didn't want to send our information to another hospital, we shouldn't have to.
Of course.
You see what I'm saying? I mean, if you have account, we have accounts, we'll have accounts wherever we get health care, and the information should only be sent where we say it goes. And in that case, you know, we can provide the receiver with, you know, our consent form electronically or in person to say, look, you know, you're going to be getting this information about me from Seton, and, you know, please put it with the rest of my information. In other words, the patient can coordinate their own care.
Right. It strikes me that there might be now a connection, at least in my mind, listening to you speak, with the insurance mandate in Obamacare and the creation of these electronic medical record systems. Because if everyone's required to participate in the insurance market, mm-hmm. and the insurance market is very heavily regulated by the government, I could see it'd be that much easier for these electronic medical record systems to be created and the information to be shared, especially if everyone's required to participate in these systems. What are your any thoughts on the connection between the two, or is this kind of
I'm not sure about all the connections, but there's no question that is that if care is provided through insurers who are now supposed to cover everybody, then they're going to, you know, the intent is that they be that they all have electronic health records and they all be wired together through health data exchanges, health information exchanges, and so on. And so there's a tremendous possibility of, you know, the abuse and loss of control of this information, because once it's out there, you can't ever make it private again. And so,
right.
So no, it's in a way, healthcare reform appears to be predicated on electronic records and electronic information, because, you know, the theory is that you could do a lot of good things with electronic records, and we agree with that. The problem is we don't want these systems to continue to do the incredibly bad things that are going on right now. And, you know, and I guess I'm sensitive about this topic because people in the data mining industries accuse us of saying, planting fears in people's minds. But it's not a fear that Blue Cross Blue Shield is selling data through the Blue Health Intelligence subcorporation. It's something that they're doing. It's not a fear that people have lost control of their prescriptions. Every pharmacy in the nation's been data mined every day for 10 years, and our prescription records are sold. And so we're saying, you know, we've got to address the very real and very damaging flaws in today's type of health technology systems if we have any hope of the public being willing to use them or trust them in the future.
Right.
But yeah, you know, I think the government does imagine that you know, the records could do a lot of good, and they could. They, you know, and you know, the question of whether they're really going to lower costs or not is actually open, because, you know, for example, once we had a system, let's say, that reminded everybody of every test that they didn't have at a certain time, there could be more costs. And, you know, and recently I've been on a radio interview with a security expert who was saying, listen to this, Michael, you're just going to faint. But the hospitals, as they electrify all this data, as they create all this data, things like, you know, x-rays and so on that just chew up data, that the typical cost just for storage of electronic records for a single hospital in a city like Austin could be $800,000 to $1 million a year, data storage.
Wow.
So the data storage, this particular expert, and that's what his company does, is his opinion was that the cost of data storage could kill all this, which, you know, to some of us might be a good thing.
Right.
If they can't store it, gosh, maybe they have to delete it, and it won't exist forever in cyberspace to harm us or our children and our grandchildren.
Right.
You know, that's the other thing. Hospitals, you know, that he talked about is so interesting. Hospitals don't have a policy about deleting data. Another nightmare, right? I mean,
right.
It should have a life, just like medical records. Doctors have to keep them, according to state laws, for a certain number of years. Not forever. Number of years.
Interesting. And just to clarify what my thinking was around the insurance mandate, I was just thinking that you have a small population of people who don't participate in the insurance market.
Right.
For various reasons, and some of them
and
might be privacy concerns.
It's probably
going to
grow.
What's that?
It's probably going to grow.
Well, it's true. But you have, and I even know some people who don't participate in third-party reimbursement systems because of privacy concerns. And this is definitely a way to capture them into the system, so you cannot not participate in the electronic medical record system.
Yeah.
If you participate in insurance, now you have the mandate, you have to get insurance. So
that's
kind of where I was thinking.
Well, but
questions
even today,
that,
just to point
you
out.
You had answered with your survey that we should know about.
Oh, yeah. Let me get to that. But, you know, even if you stay out of insurance, if you get medical treatment, they're going to capture data about you. So, for example, you can't have a private prescription in this country, even if you pay privately, because every pharmacy is data mined and the information sold every day. So just not getting it, I only wanted to clarify for your listeners, just staying out of insurance isn't going to protect your information either, sadly. So what else is in the survey? Got some other things. Here's another really direct question. When your medical records are kept in electronic systems, would you want to decide which individual people can see and use them? And, of course, we had very high numbers here, 91%. In other words, people really, really want to know who's on the other end of this, who's actually going to get my information. You know, is it going to be my doctor's nurse? Or is it going to be, transcription person in Pakistan or what? Who's going to actually see and use my records? So that's another way of asking the strong question of who do you want to control your information?
This is Michael Ostlink with the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons and Take Back Medicine. And I'm speaking with Dr. Deborah Peel from the Patient Privacy Rights Foundation. And she's telling us about this very interesting Zogbee poll, which is supporting our work collectively in our interest in protecting medical privacy. Debbie, you've shown us through the poll results that the majority of people in this country do support medical privacy, the right to consent, to control their medical records. With the last few seconds of our show left, other things you think our listeners should know? And can you also give us the website address again so they can look up the further questions that are answered in your poll?
Sure. What I'd like to urge people to do is sign our Do Not Disclose list on our website. The idea is it's a petition that we're taking to the government that will work like the Do Not Call list. If you don't want anyone to use your information without your permission, you have your name on the list, and we're hoping that, like the Do Not Call list, it could become a government project. And then anyone that holds your information, if your name is on that list, they can't do anything with it unless they contact you. So that's an easy way to register the kinds of register your opposition to a system that takes away control over your own personal health information. So Do Not Disclose list is what it's called, and it's also on our website, www.patientprivacyrights.org. And so, you know, that's an easy way that you can act and you can help take back privacy. And again, the other way that I hope people will use our poll, which is at the same website, www.patientprivacyrights.org, is take it to your lawmakers. Take it to your representative to the U.S. Congress. Send it to your senators. Send it to your governor. You've got to tell state governments that you don't want these health information exchanges to dump your data in and let thousands of people you don't know use it without your consent. And, you know, you've got to tell the state governments to build trusted systems. And so I think the poll will really help you.
Great. Well, thanks, Deb. It's great talking to you.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you for asking me, Michael.
And happy Thanksgiving.
You too. Happy Thanksgiving.